turn with me to Luke chapter 7. We'll just read the passage now, and then we'll walk through it after one more hymn. So Luke chapter 7, and it's the story of the sinful woman, which is on verse 36. So Luke 7, verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "Well, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Isn't that wonderful? Just absolutely marvellous portion of God's word. It's clear to this woman that the name of Jesus was incredibly precious to her. Something had happened in her life, and she heard that he was coming to Simon the Pharisee's house. And because of what had already happened to her, she comes ready with this gift. So the name of Jesus was sweet to her. Yeah, so we're going to be just walking through this passage briefly this morning. Should we just pray for the children as they're going for their Sunday school? Let's pray for them as they leave. Father, we pray your blessing upon the children as they hear your word this morning. Father, we ask that you would accompany it by the power of your Spirit. Father, may they know your love and trust in this wonderful, sweet name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, their only hope. In a dark world. Father, we pray your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So can I just say, just before I begin, please forgive me for lack of time. It's the first week of the holidays, and it was a lovely hot day. I was thinking I'm going to leave my tie at home today. And I know you well enough now. I feel I can get away with it. So basically, we're just going to be walking through the passage. If you're somebody who loves 3 points to every sermon, I'm afraid it's not going to be quite like that today. We're just going to walk our way through, and just I pray that the section of this word that the Lord would really impress upon your heart, whatever your need may be, would really strike you and be a blessing to you. So let's begin with verse 36. So it says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that absolutely as encouraging as can be. You know, those of you who are well-versed in Scripture, you know about Pharisees. You know that Jesus described them as whitewashed tombs. These were people who were religious, but they were haughty. They lacked any humility. They looked down on people. And we get a bit of a hint of this in this passage here, don't we? With Simon the Pharisee thinking, you know, if he knew who this person was, who was here, you know, he'd have nothing to do with her. There's this kind of haughtiness about Pharisees. And yet, Simon the Pharisee invites God to his home. And God goes to his home. Now, no matter who you are, no matter how religious you may be, no matter what your hidden sins may be, no matter what hypocrisy might exist in your life, God is searching for the lost, and he will draw near to those who invite him close. And that's extraordinarily encouraging. It's just amazing that the God who created the universe should draw near to Simon. I remember we used to have some amazing guests. I remember being in the Oxford Union. And when you arrived in Oxford, you always signed up to the Oxford Union because you never knew what kind of speakers you were going to get. I remember I was there in the 1990s and we would have sports stars. This may not mean anything to you, but we had Lennox Lewis, heavyweight boxing champion of the world. I remember shaking his hand. I was just like, whoa, Lennox Lewis. Barry McGuigan, Ron Atkinson used to manage Aston Villa. Any Aston Villa fans remember his party leaders like we had John Smith, who sadly passed away. Tony Benn. I remember meeting him. Nelson Mandela came along. I remember meeting Nelson Mandela. SAS war heroes like Chris Ron. We had all these people just come along and meet us. It was a real joy to be there. It was really exciting, and yet Simon the Pharisee plays host to the one who created the universe, who flung the stars into space, who spoke at the very beginning. In the beginning, he just spoke creation into being, and everything was not only made through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, it was made for him. If you're wondering this morning what your life is about, why you are even here, what on earth is the purpose of everything, it is because you were made to give glory to your Maker, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was before he ever travelled down Mary's birth canal. He was there in the beginning, creating all things. He was the part of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before even an atom was formed, for eternity past. And here he is, coming into Simon the Pharisee's home. And I'm sure you'd be encouraged by that. That God knows you, sees you, he knows your name, he knows all about your life, and yet he will still draw near to you. And Simon's even a doubter. He's got no faith, and yet Jesus draws near. A woman in that town, we read, who lived a sinful life, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Loving devotion seen in action, just expressed in this worship, this adoration of Jesus. Something had happened in her life. Perhaps even though she was known to be a sinner, she was publicly known to live a presumably openly sinful life, and yet she was perhaps there on the fringe of the crowd, listening in to this message of grace and forgiveness that the Son of God brought to the world. And there she is, something happens in her heart, and she believes, she trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she knows what it is to know peace with God. all that she has ever thought and said and done, of which she now feels ashamed, is washed away somehow. And she just knows that it's to do with Jesus. And she wants to show her love, her thankfulness for him. And she brings this wonderfully expensive gift of this alabaster jar of perfume, and she just pours it lavishly over him. She is just caught up with nothing but Jesus. How is your love this morning for the Son of God? Has it grown cold? Has it turned into some sort of ritual? Have you forgotten that first love that you once had when you first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved? When you first knew what it was to be forgiven? Well, she's there right at the beginning of her walk with him, and she is overwhelmed with love. As should we this morning. And I'm sure many of you are still with hearts warmed even at the sound of the Saviour's name. You know, I just want to zoom in on this love expressed in action. I was trying to search for anything that was even remotely comparable, and there isn't anything really, but there was this father and son that were known collectively as Team Hoyt. You may or may not have heard them. They're very famous in the sporting world. And Dick Hoyt, he was born in 1940, and his son Rick was born in 1962 with cerebral palsy. And Team Hoyt began in 1977. And I'll just give you a bit of a flavour of the love for this father, for his son. Because his son asked him if he would help him run in a race. He couldn't run, but if he could push him along in this race to raise money for charity. And Dick Hoyt, a retired lieutenant colonel in the Air National Guard in America, he wasn't a runner. At the age of 36, he agreed to run. And at the end of it, his son said this, I've written it down. He said, "Dad, when I'm running, it feels like I'm not handicapped." And that was enough for Dick Hoyt, the dad. Over the coming years, they competed in 1,130 endurance events, including 72 marathons, 6 Ironman triathlons. In fact, when he was doing the swimming part of the triathlon, Dick Hoyt would put a rope in his mouth and drag his son on the boat behind him. So, he'd always come last, but just this love. He knew his son loved him, and he just delighted to bless him and please him. They only died about 5 years ago, but they were just so well known, and people would turn out, they would help push little Rick along, and just a loving picture of a father and a son. But compared to the love that your Father in heaven has for you, the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for you right now, this morning, even that kind of love, the best that perhaps we can offer up as human beings, is a pale, pale shadow. Jesus, didn't he? He said, though you know how to give good gifts to your children, which of you will not give a piece of bread if they ask for it rather than a stone? We know how to bless our children, and yet he says, though you are evil, you know how to give this kind of love. And what do you mean by that? It means, compared to the love of God for you, nothing, no one loves you like God the Father, like God the Son, like God the Holy Spirit. And the love that has touched this woman's life has broken in to her sin. It's broken through all her hardness of heart. All of her doubts have just been obliterated. And she has been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ's love in her heart. And so she has been changed. And now, instead of wanting to go the way of sin, which is where her carnal desires may have led her before, She now wants to leave that life behind, and she is now just has eyes fixed on Jesus. Do you love your Saviour in that way? Have you been touched by his love first? Have you known this forgiveness that is available to you? No matter what you have done, no matter what you have said, no matter how many times you have failed and stumbled in the same area over and over again, and it seems to have you enslaved, no matter what you have done, the love of God is steadfast, and the blood of Jesus washes away every guilty stain. And when you come to know the forgiveness that Jesus brings, what joy is yours. You're not made perfect overnight, and you may stumble in many ways, but in your heart of hearts now everything's changed. The old is gone and the new is come. And so she expresses her love in action. So just on all of that, it's worth just reflecting on this. And Ryle puts it like this. He says, "Let us never forget this. However much the world may sneer at feelings in religion, and however false or unhealthy religious feelings may sometimes be, the great truth still remains behind, that feeling is the secret of doing. The heart must be engaged for Christ, or the hands will soon hang down. The affections must be enlisted into his service, or our obedience will soon stand still. It will always be the loving workman who will do most in the Lord's vineyard." Lovely. Just. And so what's the application of that? Well, just remember again this morning, even if you were saved 50 years ago, as I think I was chatting with someone earlier on, I was mentioning, no matter how far ago it was, just remember again just how much you have been forgiven. Just remember again how precious it was when you first knew that healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you first came to believe and be saved, when the veil of just living by sight and what we see and what we crave just was broken apart, and you were introduced to this unseen world in which there is a God who loves and cares for you. And you met him in that secret place that only other believers know, when Jesus drew near by his Spirit. And by God's grace, as you draw near to him again, remember that love that he has for you, you will be propelled in adoration to lovingly serve him and live for him. Act in accordance with your love for him, as this woman did. And then it goes on, "When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner.'" I don't know the tone of voice that he thought that, but it's interesting that he only thought it, and then Jesus replied. That's a lovely thing, isn't it? The Lord knows your thoughts. He knows everything you're thinking. And how wonderful that even knowing that, he brings things to pass that draw you to him, because he loves you. And so he doesn't just dismiss and walk out in half or anything like that. This is just marvellous. Simon, he's a bit of a fraud, really, isn't he, Simon? Because when the Lord says to him in reply, "I have something to say to you," he's, even though he's thinking this guy's not a prophet, he says, "Oh, please tell me, teacher." Just fraudulent, just a hypocrite, really. Just pretense, just acting out. Knew what he was supposed to do in public, but inwardly something different. People are like that. Perhaps you're like that at times. And then the Lord says this wonderful parable. But before we look at that, just to remind us If you're someone who is outwardly devoted or even busy in the life of the church, but where your inner love has grown cold, just remind yourselves, if you speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, then you are nothing more than a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If you have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and you have faith that can move mountains, but you don't have love, then you have nothing, the Bible says. If you give away all you possess to the poor and you give your body over to hardship that you may boast, but you don't have love, you gain nothing. So, again, let's just test our own hearts this morning and ask ourselves, do I love the Lord Jesus? Do I love him? Is he dear to me? Am I singing that truly from the bottom of my heart? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in my ear. Is that you this morning? If it's not, then listen on, because the Lord has something to say to you, as he did to Simon the Pharisee. We're finishing with this, actually. It's like the main point, because Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. And then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." And then Jesus turns to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And then Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the whole point of the story, that having your sins forgiven is the spring from which flows the love that you have for Jesus. Be forgiven first. And work for your salvation. It's impossible. Nothing you can do can save yourself. There is no amount of giving to charity that will save you. There is no amount of hardship you could put yourself through. There is no amount of religious devotion in this church that can come close to getting you into heaven. It is nothing but the grace of God through the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in him alone is what saves, and it is a gift, freely given. Believe, and you will be saved. That's it. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Nothing more. And only then, when you have received this gift of faith, will you be able to love and adore the Saviour who rescued you. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture that that the Lord gives to this Simon the Pharisee. He's showing him his lack of faith. He's showing him how cold his heart really is. Her faith, sinner saved, is clear from how she lives now. Clear from her love for Jesus and that expressed in action. But here, Simon the Pharisee, his love is cold, and so his actions don't match up to hers. Says, wonderful picture. And this is what Ryle has to say. "Forever the mighty principle laid down by our Lord in this passage abide in our memories and sink down into our hearts. It is one of the great cornerstones of the whole gospel. It is one of the master keys to unlock the secrets of the kingdom of God. The only way to make men holy is to teach and preach full and free forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The secret of being holy ourselves is to know and feel that Christ has pardoned our sins. Peace with God is the only root that will bear the fruit of holiness. Forgiveness must go before sanctification. We shall do nothing till we are reconciled to God. This is the first step in religion. We must work from life and not for life. Our best works before we are justified are little better than splendid sins. We must live by faith in the Son of God, and then, and not till then, we shall walk in his ways. The heart which has experienced the pardoning love of Christ is the heart which loves Christ and strives to glorify him. There are times when I kind of lean on others who put it far better than I can. And that was J.C. Ryle. How wonderfully put. So just to finish now, will you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you haven't yet already? If you're someone who is here out of religiosity, but you know that you don't have love for Jesus, you don't know what it is to be born again of his Spirit, you've never known what it is to be made a new creation in Christ, an encounter with the unseen, loving God who knows you by name, then I pray by God's grace that even this moment you might open your heart to believe, that you might be, well, that you might open your heart, you can't even do that, that God might open your heart, pour in his Spirit by his love, and that you might know peace with him and sins forgiven. And then if you're someone who is saved, if you like this woman have left that life behind and have come to know him, then I just pray this morning that you might remember afresh from what you have been rescued. That you are on a path towards that one day when, not very far away, let's be frank, we're all just passing morning mists, aren't we? We're all transient here. We're going to be breathing our last breath fairly soon, all of us, in the context of human history. But we're going to be standing very soon before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of all mankind, who knows all that is unseen. Every book will be opened and your life will be laid bare. And the question will not be simply, you know, how have you performed? It won't be that at all. It will be, did you trust in my Son? Did you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness? Did you come and believe in him for cleansing, for forgiveness? And then, if you're someone like that, then remember that you are no longer on that path to condemnation, to the hell's fire which is deserved by all who reject God's love in Christ. If we ignore such a salvation, how can we be saved? You are now forgiven forever. The steadfast love of Jesus is with you every day, every moment of every day, and into eternity, when you will see your precious Saviour face to face. And this woman will be there. This woman who is so loved that Jesus, in other passages of the Bible, said that wherever her story is told throughout the world, she will be honoured and remembered as the good news is shared, as we have done this morning. You'll be with her in glory, knowing that wonderful love into eternity. So let's just turn to God in prayer now and pour out our hearts in praise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the words, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Father, we thank you for that wonderful day when you gave us this precious gift of faith, when we realised that all of our efforts were futile, when all of the striving fell away, when the love of sin was taken from our hearts, Father, when you changed us and gave us certainty of things unseen, the love that was ours in Jesus, when you opened our eyes to believe in him, when this wonderful unseen world was opened up before us and we became seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Father, we worship and adore you this morning. We thank you for this love. We thank you and we pray that you would help us to grow in our understanding of the sheer height and breadth and depth of love that you have for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might live in love for you and work out our salvation in fear and trembling, but knowing that there is now no condemnation for us now that we are in Christ. Father, we pray for friends, for family members, for work colleagues, others who we long might come to know this wonderful, loving touch of grace in their hearts and receive this precious gift of faith. Lord, pour out upon them, Father, your wonderful love, we pray, for their good, for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.